So April 14th, Planning Commission, welcome. Commissioners present, Matt Cochran, Elena Hughes, Tina Carlson, Shelley Price Gibson, and John Baranth, Peg Smith as clerk. And are we going to see the zoning administrator tonight, Peg?
I do not think so.
Okay, so minus April O'Neill, we at last minute, Lee Nellis will not be on the call. And I just want to thank Pete Benson for helping to set up the town hall setup. So, okay. Let's see. So first item on the agenda is approving the agenda for today. So I'll make a motion to, well, actually there's one minor change in there. So the minor change is due for, we have listed for the Fogel Fuller subdivision public hearing, a discussion and a vote. And because we don't have all the paperwork in and the zoning administrator hasn't had a chance to look at it and forward us a staff report on that, we're going to have the public hearing today, but we're going to forego the discussion and the decision until May's meeting. So that's the only change on the agenda that I have. Does any other commissioner members have any change?
Move to approve as amended.
I didn't hear that.
I move to approve the agenda as you have amended it.
Okay. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
John Baranth, aye.
And Shelley? Yeah. Is she here?
I don't see her right now.
She was a minute. Okay. Well, that's a quorum, so let's just go with that.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you.
I also.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, next on the agenda is approving the minutes from the March meeting. This vote will not need, well, Shelley, you were present, so I guess you can vote on it. So I make a motion to approve the minutes from the March meeting. Any comments?
Yeah, I have a minor correction, which Peg, I've asked her to put the addresses of the different projects in, and she said she would do that. So thank you very much, Peg.
It's done.
Thank you.
Okay, so anyone want to second that?
Second it.
Okay, all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
John, aye.
We can't hear you, Shelley, if you're
Shelley
speaking.
Shelley Price Gibson, aye.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. So next item on the agenda, I think we're going to start with talking about the land use ordinance. I'm pulling it up here. That Lee Nellis and John Baranth have been working on. John, I'd like to delegate over to that to you, to where you guys have come to and where we're at on that.
Okay, thank you, Matt. So this, we've been working on it since January, I believe, as part of the big subdivision memo in February. So we've been at this for a while. But Lee Nellis and I have exchanged multiple emails and spent many hours on the phone in the last month regarding this ordinance. I greatly appreciate Lee's patience in educating me about the reasoning for certain provisions and his responsiveness to my input on changes. The definitive text is the clean copy dated April 5th, which was distributed by Peg. He had, in that version, he had left some alternative wording on definitions in 152.006, I think his most recent wording, which is highlighted, is perfectly adequate and addresses all the issues that I have brought up. But when I compare this version to the version that we sent to public hearing in March, I feel there have been substantial additions and deletions. So what I recommend we do is schedule this version with some minor editorial corrections, which I can send to Lee for hearing in May.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else on the commission have comments on the clean copy that you've reviewed? The recommendation is to send it back to public hearing because of substantive changes made in the between John and Lee. So any other comments on it in your review of it?
This is Elena. I just wanted to comment and see if the difference between easement and right-of-way doesn't feel super clear to me. If it feels clear to everyone else, that's fine for me, but I feel like I read it multiple times and it didn't feel abundantly clear to me. The closest I got is, I guess I'm thinking that an easement is a right and a right-of-way is ownership in terms of, let's see, like when it talks about a public agency, utility company, private individual being able to use it, is the difference that an easement is that someone has a right to use it, and with a right of way, it's that they have ownership of it. I guess I'm wondering, if it's clear to everyone else.
Your confusion is perfectly legitimate because right of way is used in both senses. I went to a couple legal dictionaries and they use it both as a strip of land that somebody owns, like the highway right of way. But it is also used as a term for having a right, like a power line right of way across the property. So the both definitions exist there, but the main clarification we're making here is that easements do not involve separate ownership.
Okay.
And then clarifying what happened is, as I started going through it, it turned out there were three different definitions of right of way in the Boulder easements that. So we have to repeal some of those. But you're never going to get rid of all the old plats and other documents that may have used the terms in the reverse order. So that's why Lee added that clarification that where he says, whether an area that is separately owned is called a right-of-way or an easement, it shall be treated as a right-of-way. Whether called a right-of-way or easements, all areas where various rights of use are separate from the underlying ownership are treated as easements. So, so a driveway, irrigation pipe, that is not separately owned and on the plat, would be an easement.
So, given that legalese is never quite clear, anyways, John, are they interchangeable to some extent, or are they very specifically different here? Because it is confusing, but how important is that?
Well, I think, as I said, the right of way is used in both ways.
Okay.
In the legal dictionary, what we have to be clear is, as we use the term in an ordinance, what we're referring to. So that's the purpose of having a definition in the ordinance, to say, as used in this ordinance, a right-of-way means this and an easement means something else. And the big distinction, of course, being that what we're getting to is easements not being excluded from the area of the lot.
Right.
Correct.
So John, in the example of like a utility company, would it be that if a utility company has an easement through your land, they have a right to use it, whereas if they have a right-of-way through your land, they actually own that access way?
As we're using it, yes. Okay. Although, like I say, sometimes they will refer to it as the power line right of way, but the clarification that Lee is using is that in our ordinances, if there was no separate ownership of the land, we're referring to it as an easement.
Okay, great.
Any other questions from the other commissioners? Okay, then I'm going to make a motion to forward this the land use ordinance, I don't have the title here in front of me, to public hearing in May.
Make it clear for the minutes, it's an ordinance amending chapter 152 of the Boulder Town Code of Ordinances is what Lee called it.
Okay.
Epic.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm making a motion to put the amending chapter 152 of Boulder Town Code of Ordinances to public hearing in May.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Ron, aye.
Matt did his homework.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
Resolved everything and was able to answer questions.
Keith and Lisa, could you guys mute, please?
Oh, sorry. How do I do that?
I did it.
Okay, did we get all the votes in on that?
Shelley, I didn't hear her.
Said I also.
Okay, thank you. Shelley, is it possible for you to turn the volume up on your speaker and your mic?
I got it all the way up.
Really? Okay, well.
Is it close?
You're better, yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to number two part of this. Now, this is going to be a little different because Lee Nellis is not here, but let me try and put some context. So we are working on I'll put it back to you in a minute here, John, but and basically John has a proposal, to move forward in a different way than Lee has. Although I believe that we're both of you are working towards, the bigger picture of moving forward with the massive subdivision ordinance. So we're, going at it with slightly different strategies. So John, why don't you tell us what you proposed as clearly and concisely as you can? And then I think in all fairness, I should at least read Lee's comments to that. And then whatever questions we have, we'll ask you. And then the commission needs to make a decision which they want to take this road or that road. Clear?
Very good. Yes. I've got his April 8th reply here too. So why don't you plan to read that? All right, so this was a document that I sent out via PEG on April 5th. And it proposes concise wording that focuses on the original problems regarding small subdivisions, which were first brought to the Planning Commission in July of 2021. This proposal returns us to the immediate amendments, which is what Lee had called them, to subdivision regulations that went to public hearing in October. And that draft ordinance was subsequently forwarded to the town council. It was sent back by the town council because of some issues that Mark McKiff raised, and those have been addressed here. The ask I have for the Planning Commission tonight, there are some things, a lot of these things we've discussed at length. There are some things that still are a little unresolved. But what I'd like to do is send this to public hearing in May, and that's the ask at the bottom line of all this, which gives us a month to think about it, a meeting to get feedback, and we can amend or alter it as needed. But I would like to see us send something to town council so that we get these immediate problems resolved within a year of when they were first brought to us. So in August, Mr. Nellis provided a draft of immediate subdivision amendments. We've not reached closure on this initial issue. And we've started working on what he's been calling the minor subdivision ordinance. I have some real problems with that minor subdivision ordinance, not because I disagree with what he's trying to do, but rather feeling that many of those provisions are not typical of what we've been doing in Boulder. And I don't think they'll have the political support to go through the town council. So it's going to take some real work on that minor subdivision ordinance to build some political support and consensus if we're ever going to get something passed. But rather than wait for that, I would like to suggest that what we do is pass this, as I said, to public hearing, and then regroup and go back to the general plan and develop a specific list of objectives for improving the zoning and subdivision ordinances. Research our current ordinances to identify all provisions that need to be amended, and then discuss each proposed change rather than what we've been doing with this minor subdivision ordinance of discussing alternative wording for specific paragraphs and losing sight of our overall goals. So the draft ordinance below reflects the conclusion on private driveways versus dedicated public streets that was discussed at length at the Planning Commission meeting. And we actually had input from Judy Drain, from Gladys, and from Elizabeth Julian at that meeting. So I think that the issue of private streets has been pretty well vetted. In this version, I have deliberately eliminated or omitted rights of way and easement and streets because they are in the ordinance we just moved to public hearing. So this is going back to the October title, an ordinance amending Boulder Town Code to provide greater clarity and practicality in the review of proposed subdivisions. But now what I've done is I've got definitions in of a private street being a transportation route that meets the town standards for subdivision streets, but is owned privately, and a private driveway, which we've not had, which is something that accesses one or more lots that's on a privately owned easement and is maintained by the landowners. And then clarifying again that private driveway easements are included in the lot area. One of the problems Mark McKiff had was that there was that considerable discretion wording, which he was comfortable with. Lena has also brought up this section 152.041. So what I've got in this one is to reword 152.041 about frontage to say, all streets proposed to be created and identified as a permanent method of street maintenance, that's in the existing ordinance. A street may remain in private ownership as a private street or be dedicated to the town as a public street. So that gets rid of a little bit of the ambiguity there. Putting in explicitly under 141H5, subdivisions with four or fewer lots may provide access to each lot by private driveways on recorded easements. So we're taking out the considerable discretion just saying it's allowed. A private driveway is not required to meet the requirements of section H4, which is the street standards. A private driveway is required to meet all public safety requirements as may be required by the town's fire marshal, including the Utah Urban Wildland Interface Code, which basically allows a 12-foot drivable surface in a 22-foot wide cleared path. I am proposing to repeal the current minimum lot to width to depth standard. I know that this might be a little more controversial, but I think we should take input on that at public hearing. I'm also including amending the table of development standards to remove the phrase exclusive of road easements from the minimum lot size in the table of development standards. That was the one that really, that was the sentence that caused the original issue back in June. Now here's the one on access required. That's the one Elena has brought up previously. 153.190, access required. Every lot shall have frontage upon a public road or street, and then I've added, or access to a private street or driveway that is on a recorded easement and leads to a public road or street. And that pretty much matches our historic practice. And then we've got one here. It is an incredible typographical error, but it's not legal to issue building permits in Boulder on new subdivisions because somehow the word or got switched to and in the building permit issue in section. And it said, and right now our ordinance says that the town's building inspector shall not issue any permit for a proposed building or structure on a lot within the corporate boundaries unless A, the lot is within a subdivision and the lot was legally created pursuant to this chapter. And it currently reads, and the lot is a legal lot of record, such lot being created prior to September 1998. So that is clearly was not the intent. I know that the older ordinance didn't have it. Somehow in the codification, it got switched, and I'd like to get that egregious error fixed.
Okay. So, John, thank you for the details. And just for clarity's sake, this is these you see as priorities over Lee's work on the minor subdivision ordinance, which he has proposed.
Yes, both a priority because these issues about easements in subdivisions has been festering now for a year. I think we need to come to closure on it. And I think that the minor subdivision, we need to really back off and talk about big subdivisions, cluster housing, minor subdivisions, what the difference is, you know, what's the LDR versus GMU? There are many issues. That's going to take a lot of workshops and discussions to even identify the issues and how they all interact. So I think that the minor subdivision change by itself is really premature and unfocused.
Okay. Do any of the commission members have questions for John on this? Any clarifications?
So I have one. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I mostly have a comment, and that was that I kind of believe that if we have a subdivision ordinance, that the minor and the major subdivision has been in the past somewhat of a problem according to what we've done in the past. And so if it can be worked out so that there's not necessarily two ordinances based on subdivision, and that the minor subdivision is within all, you know, within the subdivision ordinance, I think it would be more easily dealt with versus having it separate. But legally, I don't know if that's, whatever, but I do agree with John that I think that we should just acknowledge the fact that we have some discrepancies within the ordinance that don't seem appropriate or with that agree with even the minor the general plan. But.
Okay, so to be clear, you're breaking up a little bit there. You think that rather than having two separate ordinances to keep working on the first, the major subdivision ordinance, is that correct? Or was I hearing you wrong?
Or whether it's called the major subdivision ordinance or a minor subdivision ordinance should be within, the same ordinance, but that's my opinion.
Totally. I get it. Okay. So, and my comment is simply that, you know, I think both are more or less headed in the right direction. This is a big chunk to do this whole thing. And I think where John has pulled all the priorities we started working on and getting at before the idea of the minor subdivision came up on and sort of rerouting us towards those. And I think it's valuable at this point to go with that and see what the town and the public has to say about it. So I'm actually in favor of going for John's and putting that up for public hearing so we can hear what everyone else thinks in May. Any other comments?
Matt, since you didn't mention it, in fairness to Lee, I will give what his feedback was, which was—
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that would be good.
So this is in his April 8th memo response to John Varant's suggestions is what it's titled. And under various amendments, the various amendments Mr. Varant proposes to answer immediate questions include changes that with which I agree, but they perpetuate the bad habit of changing things piecemeal. a habit that is the single most important reason why this work has been slow. His suggestions also include some problems. These changes commit the town to accepting private streets, not just private access easements to in minor subdivisions. That is not a good idea. But if you end up with this being the policy, it shouldn't come under the guise of minor change. This is a big issue. But as I say, we spent considerable time in January and February discussing this, and we desperately received some feedback from town council members indicating that at this time they are not interested in adopting or accepting dedication of new public streets. On my or and correction, he says it really belongs elsewhere. I agree, but I just think that you shouldn't have an error like that in your ordinance, because somebody could argue that no building permit is valid until we fix that error. So although he's right that it belongs elsewhere in the ordinances, I'm fixing it just where it is.
Okay.
So that was the substance of his comments.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Any other questions, considerations, comments from the commission? John, do you want to then put that up to motion?
Okay, so I will make a motion to send the text, the text of an ordinance amending Boulder's town code to provide greater clarity and practicality in the review of proposed subdivisions to public hearing in the May meeting.
Okay, I'll second that. Now, are there any final discussions on the matter?
So does this include the road definitions that Lee covers? Easement streets definitions?
No, those were in the other ordinance. What I actually am probably going to recommend in May is that we, after the public hearing, we merge those two into one ordinance to send to town council, because we're dealing with almost identical issues. There's a lot of overlap between the topics covered by that. And it'll be much easier for the town council to understand as one. So putting the easement and right-of-way definitions, which were in the section 152 ordinance, in with these amendments, which would be probably clearer for the town council. But right now,
I agree.
Right, I will, before on the version we submit to public comment, I will add that as part of the narrative.
That's great. I think that's very reasonable and will make things simpler. Anytime we can possibly do that we're better off. Okay, so let's take a vote. Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
John Verrent, aye.
Kelly Price Gibson, aye.
Okay, for May public hearing. Thank you, John. Okay, so we're going to switch gears and we're going to go to the Fuller preliminary subdivision public hearing. As I said earlier, because we don't have all the necessary paperwork in and a complete application from the zoning administrator, we're going to forego the discussion and the actual vote tonight. But we are, since we're already set up for it, going to gather the information and the public comments on it. And then we'll assess all that and do the discussion and the vote in May if everything is in. So,
Matt, yes. This is Peg. Is there any particular file you would like me to display right now or not?
Oh,
the map.
I have no idea actually on that, because there's
so many.
Yeah, I suppose as reference, perhaps the most clear map is the plat map that shows the actual 3-lot subdivision and so on. So why don't we, I don't know, I'm an old surveyor and mapper, so that's what I like looking at, but that's okay. Me.
I think, Peg, what, as people speak at the public hearing, we have some written comments. You might want to bring up those written comments as needed as people bring it up. So I'll make a motion that we close the Planning Commission meeting and open the public hearing.
I'll second that. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Don, aye.
And I want to give it over. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aye to me too.
Okay, and I just want to give it over, let's see, to Fogel Fuller. If you want to have any starting comments, I'll give you the floor first.
I appreciate that, Matt. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's turned into a relatively complex process with the, but in summary, I think, in all of the documents, Peg put them up on the website quickly. We weren't able to get you guys all of the necessary documents and necessities until too late. And so we certainly respect your need to push it. And the related documentation has gotten fairly extensive. So certainly respect your need to push it. The summary is that in the prior meeting, we submitted a preliminary application and heard a variety of comments from the commission. We had also previously spoken with Curtis and the previous zoning administrator about it. But the primary issues that the biggest issue that came up from the commission, from your commission in the last meeting, was a question about public roads and streets, which certainly seems relevant given the recent conversations in the meeting. But we are applying under the current ordinances. And as mentioned in the previous meeting, we discussed that with our land use attorney in Moab, and they responded. And it does seem quite clear that even under the current ordinances, that accessing, four or fewer lots is allowable on a private road in a subdivision. And the attorney believed that was a non-issue. We then, just an update, we met with Pete Benson and walked the property with him fairly extensively from a fire protection perspective. Pete suggested that he was in the process for the entire town of requesting a fire protection plan from not just subdivision applicants, but other landowners, which I thought is pretty intelligent. So at Pete's behest, we submitted a fire protection plan to Pete, made some modifications as a result of that document, and Pete's approval and requirements as a function of that document are part of the public record at this point. And then we just had other logistics to deal with, septic test, which we had done, and some other elements that are more procedural. But we believe that we comply with the requirements. There's a fair amount, unfortunately, for the Planning Commission to review as a function of all of these reviews and decisions. And we will look forward to the public comment, and we really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Okay, the floor is open. Comments on the Fogel Fuller preliminary subdivision application.
Jim, you want to go sit in that chair? There's a microphone there. So Jim Catmull is approaching the microphone.
All right, how's everybody tonight? Okay, so the last meeting that we just had at the town council meeting, we just adopted the National Fire Protection Code. And in that code right there, it says that buildings other than, detached one and two family dwellings, fire hydrants shall be provided for detached one and two family dwellings in accordance with both of the following. Maximum distance to a fire hydrant from the closest point on the building shall not exceed 600 feet. Now, this actually requires you, for your new building that you're actually building down there, to actually put in a fire hydrant for your stuff. not fire protection through a 4-inch line. You don't have protection enough for your pond. It's supposed to be 1,000 gallons a minute or 56,000 gallons for one continuous hour for actual fire protection for the thing. Fire protection that you have set up down there is not adequate just for the fact that your pond will freeze in the wintertime. You can't use culinary water to fill your pond to say that you're going to use it as fire protection because it doesn't have the flow for it. So I'm still saying that no matter if you were signed off by Peter for the fire marshal, you still do not have adequate fire protection down there. Any questions for me?
Jimmy, can you repeat the part you said at the beginning that about the 600 feet?
So the actual ordinance is revised by 18.5.2. Detached family one and two family dwellings. Fire hydrants shall be provided for detached one and two family dwellings in accordance with both of the following. Maximum distance to a fire hydrant from the closest point on the building shall not exceed 600 feet. The maximum distance between fire hydrants shall not exceed 800 feet. Then if you're doing anything besides just a family dwelling, so buildings other than detached one and two family dwellings, fire hydrants shall be provided for buildings other than detached one and two family dwellings in accordance with both of the following. Maximum distance to a fire hydrant from the closest point on the building shall not exceed 400 feet. Maximum distance between fire hydrants shall not exceed 500 feet. So that means if you have your barn or your shop or anything like that, that you're actually welding in, grinding in, anything like that, you're supposed to have a fire hydrant within 400 feet of that building itself. So even if your house itself has 500 feet away from there, you have to have one at least 400 feet if you're doing any of the following for this code. And we just adopted this Thursday.
Okay, thank you for repeating that.
Any questions for me?
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Hey, Matt, my name is Nate Kelly, and I'd like to comment if possible. So I'm the son of John and Susan Kelly, and I've been appointed their agent to deal with this property. They're dealing with some personal issues, and so can't attend, unfortunately. The main issue we wanted to address was the existing easement agreement, which was left out of the original application, and I saw the applicant's response in a letter that was posted online. But effectively, what I'd like to bring to the board's attention is that my parents and me would like to retain the rights granted under that agreement. And as proposed, it appears that lot one would violate that agreement depending on where the egress and driveway, frankly, would be put. And so that's our comment. You know, effectively, I'm here to protect that agreement as it stands. And any amendments, if we consider them, would need to be done prior to the subdivision for us to agree to them.
And so that mainly points to, if I'm just to get clear, the road maintenance issue that's required by the ordinance or not?
It's the road maintenance issue, and then the agreement has some limitations around buildings that are allowed to access that road, specifically number of buildings, which specifies one right. per lot.
Okay, thank you. Noted.
So correct me if I'm wrong, on the map right there, it shows that the three lots, correct? So there's three lots that that accesses, and then you also have the lots on the other side of John Kelly's.
Jim?
No, I'm asking.
If you want it, pardon me, you have to talk in the microphone.
Jim has another comment.
Go back to the map, please. So I know that they said that you're going to you have the three lots on the side, and for a subdivision for the private road, you have it can access up to four lots. And then, well, Anselm, you have three of the lots right there, and John Kelly has at least one lot right now. I'm not saying that he actually, if they subdivide it or keep it one full lot, you're already accessing four lots on that right now through that road. Correct?
I'm sorry, Jim. I'm trying to be follow the rules here and not comment directly. So I don't know
if okay, you're asking. I'm asking you a question on that. So if you have the three lots that you're putting in, lots one, two, and three, and if you have the road going down through there, and on a private road, you said that you're allowed to access four lots off the thing. Well, right now you're already accessing four lots. So if John Kelly decides to actually split his property up, does that now make that road, is it making a public road? Is it still making a private road? Because now you're accessing more than four lots allowed for a private road. Am I wrong, or am I reading it right?
Well, I'm sorry, I don't know whether I should reply, but I will out of respect, Jim. You're correct in that there's two lots currently accessed. And with the subdivision, there would be four lots currently accessed. That's correct. With our proposed subdivision, it's not clear. The ordinances are not particularly clear as to whether under the current ordinances, it's not clear whether more than four lots is allowed or not. But I'm not sure that that's relevant. I think it's an interesting question, and it points to some inadequacies in the current ordinances, which the commission is acutely aware of and is attempting to address. However, I don't think that that's relevant to our application because the road would not access any more or fewer lots than it already does post or pre-subdivision, and the Kellys only own one lot and don't have enough acreage under the current ordinances to subdivide it anyway. If the ordinances are changed, maybe they do, but I'm not sure whether you're addressing the easement question or the ordinances. Those are separate issues. The easement.
Sure, for clarification, and sometimes making for clarification, making sure that I was actually seeing what I was actually seeing on the map for it. Because when I was reading the ordinances, it said four lots or fewer. So I was just making sure that I was actually seeing what I was seeing.
Yes, sir. And yep. I think we should allow the public comments to continue out of respect for the process.
Okay, yeah, I think we got the details that you see, Jim. We're good on that, unless there's anything more to add. And then, thanks for the clarification.
Comment now.
All right, Randy Cattle, Boulder Farmstead. What are you using for water for your subdivision, Anselm?
I think you need to turn on your mic. It is off. Oh, you got to get closer to it, I think.
What are you using for water for your subdivision?
Are you asking? Well, I'll answer the question for everything. We've got 7 point something shares, a shares of Boulder irrigation water. We have a 30 gallon a minute well water right. And we have a well for potable water. And then we also bought Boulder Farmstead water for additional culinary water, but we have the ability to provide well water for culinary water to either dwelling in addition to the Boulder Farmstead water, and we irrigate with A shares off of the main line on Boulder Farmstead.
I don't care really about your irrigation. For your culinary drinking water, you have one share of Boulder Farmstead water, and that is right at the highway there. And if you come in and do a subdivision of your lot, making that hookup, to go to that lot there alone, and because it has to be within 30 feet of the main line. So you're eliminating your other two lots of water from Boulder Farmstead. You're not allowed to use Boulder Farmstead for your water source.
Okay, in my understanding, you have to have a write-off from Boulder Farmstead for the culinary water to access all those three lots. So maybe that's an issue that you can take in offline, and that's part of the paperwork that needs to be in. We stated that, I think, last month. So can we move on to other public comments, please?
The public comment on this was for clarification. You were using Boulder Farmstead for your water source. Until an approved application or anything else, this application should move forward until that's clarified.
Got it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public?
I have one comment. This is Peter Benson.
I'm going to go sit in the hot seat there.
The fire code that was adopted also says that if any of those provisions in the fire code that are required are impractical, we can waive those conditions and use some alternate form. So as a fire marshal, I can understand that we're not in the big city, and a lot of these things are impractical, and there's no definition of impractical in the fire. So that's all.
Got it. Thank you. Any other comments from the public on the Fogle Fuller subdivision?
Did Keith Watts submit a written comment?
Okay, yes. Please.
Keith, did you want to comment about what you submitted in writing?
Is he still muted? Yep. I think he can unmute. Yeah. There we go. Yes. I had trouble unmuting. So can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. Loud and clear.
Okay, this is Keith Watts. So I sent you the letter. I don't know whether you want me to read it into the record or to just summarize my feelings or what you would prefer.
I suppose you should. Why don't you read your letter into the record?
Okay. So after reading the Fogle Fuller subdivision application, I have concerns about cross contamination of the Boulder Farmstead domestic water system with unpurified water from the Boulder Irrigation Company. I also have concerns about fire protection. And then I refer to the Fogle Fuller subdivision application states, fire protection. All lots new and proposed are within 400 feet of hydrant. However, the definition of and requirement for hydrant are unclear. In 2020, we installed a 3-inch pressurized water line buried along most of nearly 2,300 feet along the new road with hydrant risers every few hundred feet for general and irrigation use, as well as for fire protection. The hydrants are fitted with standard 2-inch fire hose fittings. This line is fed by irrigation water when we have it and can be fed by culinary water for fire control if needed by rotating a couple of valves. We met with Pete Benson in 2020, and he approved our approach for the new house and barn when we obtained building permits. The new lot is on Lower Boulder Road with a fire hydrant nearby, so it may not be an issue. The fire plan, which they attached, it was a Google Earth image that had been marked up. You might pull that up if you can, Peg. It was an attachment on the email that you, or the on your website. I said the Fuller Fire Plan, that's the attachment I was talking about, notes that the Boulder Irrigation Company system in Lower Boulder has very high pressures, 120 PSI, that probably exceeds the pressure maintained in the Boulder Farmstead water system and could result in backflow and contamination of our domestic water supply by unpurified irrigation water. I'm also concerned that the water well near their existing residence, the one built by Corbowie, also might be vulnerable, potentially contaminating Boulder's aquifer. I don't know if the existing valves mentioned in the application and the fire plan have adequate backflow preventers and fail-safe valve system that would prevent cross-contamination of domestic water supplies by untreated irrigation water. So I would like to have somebody that's knowledgeable look at that system and make sure that there's no way that surface water from the pond or from the irrigation system were to be able to get into either the aquifer or the Boulder Farmstead system. So that's one concern. Regarding the fire protection plan, I don't think it's a good idea to set a precedent of allowing part-time Boulder Irrigation Company water to be considered adequate fire protection. As stated in the application, the irrigation water is only available between April through October. I think it shuts down around the 1st of November. However, on numerous occasions during the irrigation season, the Lower Boulder irrigation system has been shut down for repairs or when irrigation pond runs out of water due to the drought. It's sometimes this last year, it wasn't functioning for days on end. During the winter and when the irrigation system is not functioning, I'm not sure that the 7-horsepower pump system shown in the attached fire plan can be relied upon to pump water from the small pond at the lower end of the Fogel Fuller property. The stated 80 PSI at 350 gallon per minute flows from emergency pump would drop considerably as the water is pumped uphill. The highest hydrant is 76 feet higher than the pump, than the pond, looking at the topographic map that was included in their application. That would result in a drop in pressure of 33 PSI. So it would lose pressure and presumably flow. If the pump doesn't work, I don't know if it's electric or gas pump, but due to a lack of electricity, if the power is out, or if the fuel runs out, or if there's freezing conditions that it freezes in the lines, or the pond is frozen, or there's a mechanical breakdown, the proposed fire protection system won't work. Fire protection is like insurance. It's only good if it can be counted upon to work all the time. So I'd like to know what you think of their proposed fire protection plan. And finally, just from being neighbors, our personal experience, when we moved to Boulder before the drought, fires were less common. The slick rock and green pastures surrounding our property seemed like adequate fire breaks. Recently, several out of control weed fires have occurred on the Fogel Fuller property that have been very disturbing. The first burned down fence posts along our property boundary. Another out of control fire burned the old llama shed on the east end of the pasture. And a third brush fire torched a pinyon pine that was frighteningly close to our property. One night they had a big bonfire where they burned up debris left over from the Bevins pole barn that was taken down. And that was very concerning to many people in the neighborhood. On several occasions, we've had to ask our neighbors to please stop burning weeds due to dangerous, windy, hot, and dry conditions. To their credit, they've complied when we've asked them to stop during unsafe conditions. With the tumbleweed problem this year, we spent a lot of time burning tumbleweeds ourselves. safely contained in burn baskets with adequate fire breaks. It worries us when workers on the Fogel property burn weeds in place without any fire breaks. Given these concerns, we think that having an adequate fire protection system is important for the safety of our neighborhood. So that's what I wrote, and those are my concerns. I'd be happy to answer any questions. If you're awake. I went on.
We're awake. Long. Yeah. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah.
Okay, any other public comments?
I don't see any other public comments.
Okay, then I'm going to make a motion to close the public hearing, reopen the regular meeting.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
John, aye.
Okay, so as I discussed earlier, because we don't have all the paperwork, and we don't have the staff report and so on, we're not going to have a discussion on this this month, nor action on voting. It would be against what's in the ordinance. But I do want to say that all comments are publicly noted and we will discuss them in the May meeting. So thank you for your comments and questions. So that's that.
Matt, is it fair and reasonable and compliant to respond to some of those public comments or clarify, or would you prefer that I not do that?
How about you, can you respond to those next month when we discuss them
absolutely.
In public?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And I would further suggest, if you could put responses is amended versions of some of your application materials, that would be the best way to communicate how you're addressing between your narrative document and any other materials you submit would be a good way to respond formally to those requirements or those issues.
So to clarify, John, you're suggesting that we readdress those issues in writing.
That would be, I think, the preferable way. If you've got specific information to provide it as part of your application.
Okay. Yeah, happy to do so.
Okay. Then we're going to go to the next item on the agenda, which is the Hughes-Geerlings plat amendment and name change. So let's see, where do I want to start here? So there are two pieces to this. And I think, Elena, I'll let you explain what I do. What I think is important to say for the record before we start is that for me personally, I'm involved in some of, in the lot line adjustment and so on. So I want to state for the record that I have no conflict of interest in this. Otherwise, no financial gain, loss, anything in that. So it's just want to say that to make it clear. And Elena, I'd like to turn that over to you to sort of let, I think we should start with, let's start with the one of these. So there's a name change and a lot line adjustment. The name change requires a public hearing. The lot line adjustment is just a discussion among the planning commission. So let's start with the name change first, if you don't mind.
Okay, cool. Dylan's on, and Dylan, if you want to take this first part away.
Hey there. So for the name change, we want to change both the name of the easement that goes through the property from Goldman Circle to Meadowlark Lane. The name of the subdivision itself, we would also like to change from Goldman Subdivision to Meadowlark Subdivision. The owners of all three lots in the larger subdivision that our parcel is part of have agreed to this name. The purpose of this is simply to have a name we are all fonder of and better represents the place itself. We've spoken to the county recorder and the name does not already exist on any other plat, so there's no conflict there. And additionally, we will be adjusting the easement to reflect what is actually in use. So the plat, if Peg can pull that up, the plat does show both the old easement and the updated one. This would abandon the previous easement and add a new easement as shown on the plat. And the name change would just be from Goldman Subdivision to Meadowlark Subdivision. And the name of the easement or the road would become Meadowlark Lane rather than Goldman Circle. So that's the gist of the name change.
Great. Thanks, Dylan, for that. And so as required by the ordinances, that we put to public hearing. So I'm going to make a motion to open up a public hearing for comments about the name change for the easement and the subdivision name, if I got that correct. Yeah.
Second, John Varanth.
Okay, all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
John Varanth, aye.
Kelly Price Gibson, aye.
Great. Comments from the public, please? Raise your hand or step up to the mic.
I'm not seeing Zoom action here.
All right. Unless a meadowlark flies in and sings, then we're good.
Hands in the room.
Okay, so I will then, going 3, 2, 1, and I make a motion to close the public hearing and reopen the regular meeting.
Second, John.
All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
I'm Brad, aye.
Kelly Price Gibson, aye.
Okay, great. Meadowlark Lane it is. Okay, second piece. Who wants to introduce that and give us the background?
Dylan's going to do that for us also.
I can do that, yeah. So
okay, thanks,
for Dylan. The boundary line adjustment, it's just a simple boundary line adjustment we're seeking here between the three lots of what is now known, although maybe not officially anymore, as Goldman Subdivision. The purpose of this boundary adjustment is to bring lot 3, the lot that Elena and I own, up to 10 acres, while lots 1 and 2 each remain over 10 acres as well. The revised plat for the subdivision was done by Rod Torgerson, who surveyed the entire subdivision for us earlier this year. That's what you see on your screen. Both lots 1 and 2 will move their lot line nominally east by about 11 feet. On the plat, you can see the original boundary line as a dotted line. And just to the right of it, you'll find the adjusted boundary represented by a solid line. The adjustment lowers lots 1 and 2 by about a tenth of an acre from 10.12 acres each to 10.02 acres each, bringing lot 3 up to 10.03 acres. And that's it.
Okay, thank you. So any comments, questions, clarification from the PC?
Okay, a couple of things here. One is, I love your drawing. It is an excellent quality electronic document. I could zoom in as much as I needed. And thank you very much for having a good file like that.
Tell Rod Torgerson.
I've got April O'Neill's April 7th email here, and her statement on it was, Elena/Dylan's boundary adjustment and name change is well documented, and I don't see any issues with this item. So that was April, our zoning administrator's comment.
Any other comments, questions from the commission?
I think this is pretty straightforward because it's going forward under the old ordinance, not the new lot line adjustment ordinance. Under the old ordinance, there really were no criteria for us not to approve it, but we did have to approve it under state law.
Right. Well, okay. Like, so
you'll make the motion. I can make the motion to approve the lot line adjustment.
I'll second that. Any more discussion before we vote? Okay, all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
I'm assuming I should pass, Matt, is that correct?
Yeah, I think you need to recuse yourself from that.
Yeah.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Brent, aye.
Shelley?
Yes, aye.
Thank you. Okay, outline adjusted and name changed.
Matt?
Yes.
I don't have your vote for the name change. I only have your vote for closing the public hearing on it.
Oh, I voted aye on the name change.
I didn't hear
what Peg's saying is we only closed the public hearing. We didn't then vote on it.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so I'll make a motion to change the name from Goldman Circle Subdivision to Meadowlark Subdivision. A second?
John, second.
Okay, any discussion on that? Okay.
So can I just, actually, I do have a question. So you're changing it to Meadowlark Lane. Are you also going to have a number?
Yeah, so the existing addresses for lots 1 and 2, they will keep the same street numbers. It's just the name of the street that changes.
Oh, okay.
And then lot 3 doesn't, right. Yeah. So the numbers don't change.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
As far as address.
No worries. Okay, so all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
I'll recuse myself again.
Tina Carlson, aye.
John Barrett, aye.
Dolly Price Gibson, aye.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for catching that, Peg. I guess I was moving too fast.
Yep.
Okay, next on the agenda. Let's see, we're going to move to the Owens RSTR, Don Owens RSTR Cup and public hearing. So we've gotten all the documentation in. It's been checked by the zoning administrator. And so I'm not sure what the most important piece is to bring up on screen, Peg, but...
You know, I'm having trouble bringing up the actual, just the way I have it displayed on the website here.
Yeah.
It's just like a little thumbnail, more or less. I don't have the full file with me, unfortunately, so.
Okay. I can sort of see it. It's been up there for the public to look at, but yeah. I'll make a motion to open for public hearing.
I'll second that.
All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
John, aye.
Holly Price Gibson, aye.
Okay, thank you. So public comments on the Donna Owens RSTR Cup application.
Donna is here in the room.
Let's give, if Donna, you have anything you want to say, a sort of a opening comment, please go first.
Nervous. I really don't feel like I need to say much of anything. I just thought perhaps if you were curious why I want this, but I do feel like I have done a lot of work, maybe sketchy, but still fulfilling all the ordinances, all the requirements that I know of to be eligible for the CPU. I want to thank the Planning Commission for each and every one of you for your time and the energy you put into doing your job for the town of Boulder, for everything you do, and for all that you're trying to get done and clarification. It's a lot of work. Appreciate it. I am just basically turning 66 next month, and I'm tired of hard work. I've been working hard Boulder for many, 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 many years, many jobs. And this is my home is one way for, I have this whole speech I wrote and I'm not reading it. So this is just in case you're curious why I'm not the CEP. I just would like to have another source of income that is not so much hard work. This is something, having it at my home will allow me to choose the days when I can rent or not, will allow me to have some. I think that I probably don't really need to say much else other than what I wrote here. I'm excited to start with the room of my home. And I mentioned that I have another unit and I may want to switch to that one, but at this point, my application is for the room. And either unit is going to be fun for me. It's motivation to fix up my home and my yard, and I look forward to the creative side of decorating too. And I want to stay in Boulder. This is a great solution to help me accomplish that. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Okay, public comments on Don Owen's RSTR Cup application. Okay. Silence is soothing, but it doesn't look like there are any comments.
I'm not seeing any comments.
Okay. So in that case, I'm going to make a motion to close the public hearing and reopen the regular meeting. Someone want to second that for me?
I second that. Tina Carlson.
Okay. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
John Brandt, aye.
Donna Owen's house that she is putting, it was like she's tried to apply for a permit to get to do nightly rentals there.
Wait, I'm sorry, what happened here?
We just closed. Alex's voice. Alex, if you're not muted, could you mute yourself?
Hold on, we're going to need to reopen the public meeting at this point. What's our procedure here, Peg? We just closed it.
I can make a motion to reopen it if someone else wants to speak.
Yeah, you haven't completed your vote yet, so just...
Okay, so we'll reopen. So, Alexandra, would you please make your comment?
I'm sorry, I didn't have a comment. It was a fat finger on the keyboard. Just listening here.
In that case, you can just continue your vote.
Okay. So I think we were at Tina Carlson.
Yeah, let's say that.
Tina Carlson, aye.
John Brandt, aye.
Holly Price Gibson, aye.
Okay, thank you.
Did Elena vote?
Oh, Elena did vote.
Okay, thank you.
So, Planning Commission, discussion, questions, clarifications on Donna's RSTR Cup application.
I would just say that it's possible that eventually her map or exits and all of that will be a little clearer, I'm assuming, if she gets this permit.
Can you repeat that? You're breaking up a little bit. I didn't hear you clearly. Yep.
I would suggest that the map for the building is a little clearer when she gets this permit.
Okay, and I have a question, Donna, and that is, I assume that you will either be in-house or in town, because you know that one of the ordinance requires that the owner of the RSTR be within, responsive within 1 hour by phone and 3 hours physically. So just making sure that that's covered.
Yes, I am just renting one room, not the entire house.
Okay, great.
And also at the bottom of my guest guide, there is an additional contact besides myself, as well as my email and my texting.
Okay, thank you.
This one, I fully believe Donna meets all the requirements because it's a small town. We know each other. We know that she lives here and all that. But I'm a little troubled by this application. And I've had several, fortunately, I've been able to exchange a few emails today with April. Because when I compare what we have here compared to what we saw from the Stedman Peterson RSTR, where everything was there online in one file, the tax statement, the notary on the affidavit that all statements were true, all the other requirements in the ordinance were very clearly spelled out. There was no ambiguity or in the documentation that they were met. So I asked April a couple times and she says, yes, Donna does. There were other documents that Donna submitted that were not posted online. And April said that Donna met the requirements, so I'm going to take her word for it. But at the end of the meeting, when we talk about business for next month, I want to bring up a little more clarity in the procedures, because we do spell out in the ordinance a lot of very detailed requirements. And if we're going to spell them out in the ordinance, we really do need to be following them and documenting that they were followed.
Okay, yeah, let's I think that'd be valuable to discuss that when we do next meeting agenda. Some administrative stuff to tighten up. Perfect.
I don't think you really need to answer. I've said I believe that you met the requirements and April said you did.
A lot of the documents I submitted are not being shown. And the nicer ones, like I did send the actual copy of my sales tax license and so just so you know.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Donna. I do trust that they were April's assured me that there were other documents submitted. It's just sort of if we as a commissioner are supposed to evaluate that they're met, it's nice to be able to see the evidence.
Okay, any other comments from the Planning Commission?
I kind of wanted to comment something similar to John of just the only thing that's online. I know there's the thumbnail of the map, but the only thing that's clickable online is the guest guide. So again, I also feel comfortable with April saying it's okay, that it's okay, but it probably would be good to have, especially if we have a public hearing on something, there's not much that the public was able to see on this. I feel like in general, the RSTR applications have been kind of hard to keep track of on our end with different files. So it might be good to have more of like a formal application or checklist or something going forward.
Great, thanks.
Can I say something, Matt?
Please.
If you want to continue this conversation later in the meeting, that's fine, but all of the materials that were submitted, I did forward to the Planning Commission. So you guys all, you got everything. So you could see all of the completeness of what she sent. I intentionally only uploaded a subset of, I think Bryn's file was 30 megabytes and 30 files. It was like monstrous. And I didn't think it was serving the public's interest to upload all of those individual pieces and was trying to keep it to the most likely things that would be needed for the discussion in the public. So that's why you're seeing a subset on the website. But yes, rest assured, we have the full complement of the full application on file.
Right.
Now, of course, this one was part of the reason I had to ask those questions of April was that we do have two applications, and in all fairness to both applicants, in my mind, it was very important to who submitted what, when. Does it sound like what did he know and when did he know it? But that was part of my question, you know, is when were things submitted and so forth. And again, I think April did an excellent job of answering all my questions. Hats off to her getting that done.
Okay, so any more comments specifically about Donna Owen RSTR Cup application? Okay, then I'm going to make a motion to approve the Owens RSTR Cup application.
I'll second that.
Okay, any last discussion before we go to vote?
Again, I'd like to ensure that directions for the people who are going in are getting, you know, clear directions as far as where in the house and how they get out, and all of that stuff is part of what she's going to supply.
So is that like a condition you want to put on it? Just you know, a clearer map, is it, of ingress and egress, or is that what you're asking?
That would be great. If it's that would be great.
So an updated version from the hand-drawn to what would be acceptable?
I mean, the hand-drawn is great. It's nothing you can glance at and see. So,
Matt, I think Donna
where you are.
I could address that to help you, too, if I could, if you guys want.
Well, I think Tina's comment is simply that it's not so much for us, but something that's clear and perhaps more, I mean, your drawing's great, but perhaps more professional for your actual guests that are staying in the house.
When you go to Airbnb or VRBO, there's electronic files sent, and that's where all of that will happen, and I am more than happy to draw.
Oh, great.
Okay, great. So. Great. So then the motion would be to approve the Donna Owens RSTR Cup with the condition of an updated guest map that's up to VRBO or whatever the standards are for ingress, egress, all that. That's not hand-drawn, but more professionally done. I don't know if a commissioner or member has a better wording for that. That was clunky, but...
I'll go with that. That's fine. Second motion.
Okay. Do you want to second that? And
yeah.
Oh, we did that.
I get Tina Wilson second.
Okay. So all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
John Durant, aye.
Shelley Price Gibson, aye.
Okay, Donna, there's your CUP. And just, you know, for public, and I think you already know that, you know, we're still figuring out the administrative part of this, but yearly you have to renew the CUP because of what we suspect and what we'll probably find shortly is that we have a waiting list of people cycling in and out. So it has to be a cup that's used and then renewed annually. Through the paperwork. Good. Okay, next on the agenda, and now we're to the Bryn Brody RSTR Cup. We're gonna go through and review this, even though the limit for Lower Boulder is now fulfilled. Bryn, this will be put on the waiting list and ready to go if anyone cycles out or drops the ball. So let's see. Yeah. So what we're going to do here for the next RSTR Cup is I'm going to make a motion to open a public hearing for the Brody RSTR Cup.
Is that John second?
All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Barth, aye.
Shelley Price Gibson, aye.
Great. I've never said my name so much, an aye in one day, by the way. Let's see. So we're open for public comment. Bryn, if you'd like to make an opening statement, comment first, the floor is yours. Okay. So I'll leave it at that.
Before I make a comment, can I make another comment about what Peg just said? I too found it confusing. I was advised to kind of look at the materials of the last couple of applications. And it turns out that Peg just can't put all the information online. So just maybe hopefully down the road we can figure out a way where the public can see everything. Because I was confused myself too. However, having said that, I know that April, the Planning Commission, have so much to do, and so that's not a complaint. I'm just saying that I too also found it confusing by what I really needed. So I just kind of went back to, you know, the original paperwork, and that's why what you see now, I numbered everything. I just kind of aligned it with what I can't remember the name, the number of the, you know, it addresses the short-term rentals, but that's why I numbered it to address everything. The public probably doesn't have all the pictures of ingress and egress and all that, but it sounds like that might reassure the public to be able to see all the materials too. But anyway, so I'm Bryn Brody, and I'm also applying for a CUP for a short-term rental, and let's see, I'm assuming that any interested public did see my opening letter, so I probably don't need to read it, but I'll just summarize a couple things. I've been thinking about this for a while and just trying to figure out the way that made the most sense to me. Originally, I was going to try to build an ADU and just seem too cost prohibitive to kind of circle around really quite recently, and decided to try to rent out a room in my house. And, you know, similar comments that Tom made, I'm getting older, and what I've been doing is working my little farm business, and then also supplementing my income, working at the Hell's Backbone a couple few nights a week, which has been great. But same thing, I don't think Cindy Meyer, I don't think I can do that forever. So I even looked into trying to get some online work, and I don't think that's my cup of tea. I'm more of a hands-on person. But I think this would suit me nicely. I enjoy travelers, I enjoy talking to travelers. I'm just looking to rent to also an upstairs room. It's a pretty nice space. Hopefully the commissioners at least got the photos. I also want to say that of course in my guests welcome, you know, all this information's there, but when I post online, I'll be very clear just to eliminate people who are just doesn't jive with, you know, before they even get here. Such things as we're gonna quiet the neighborhood, we have a dark sky initiative. I don't allow fires because we're always in either serious or extreme conditions. Someone's gonna do it, you know, by permission. And of course, I will post fire restrictions, but basically I'm just gonna beat people out before we even get there. And I will be on site all the time. Like, I think this is gonna complement what I'm already doing on the farm. You know, I think I'll be able to do my farm better. And I'll enjoy people coming from other places. I think it's going to match my skills and interests. I used to work in lodging. I enjoy art. I have a lot of local art in my house. And I really want to turn people on to all of the, you know, kind of cool little businesses and stuff in Boulder. So, and also I won't allow dogs because they don't jive with cows. So those are some things that might be addressing some people's concerns. But yeah, I think that's all I have to say.
Great. Thank you, Bryn. So public comments on the Brody RSTR Cup?
This is Judith Guile speaking. I'm Bryn's neighbor. Hello, Bryn. We think she's done a thorough job thinking this through. She's always been a very professional person in all her endeavors. And I think she will continue to be so. We also support community people that want to assure their ability to remain in Boulder with some sort of financial security. And I think, as she has stated in her letter to the commissioners, this is an opportunity for her to make that a possibility. So as neighbors, we do support this procedure. One thing that we need to talk about probably is what was addressed earlier about road maintenance and use of egress ingress. So other than those concerns, I think this is a project that we can certainly support.
Thank you, Judith. Any other comments?
I don't see anyone else on Zoom.
Donna's stepping to the microphone.
Okay.
For a second. My comment is that I have seen two different, I went to the state site. I was very disturbed by the fact that there was only one left, and my dear friend Bren and I were both kind of competing for the same, and we're on different sides of town. And so I went to the ordinance many, many times trying to figure out what I needed to do. And I saw on the state site where it says Lower Boulder would have five. And then I saw that was dated 2019. And then I saw one from 2009 where all three would only have four. And so I thought, well, maybe there's a chance that that's the new one and that Brent could have this the same night that I get mine. And then I read another one that said all four, just four. And it also had a date of 2019. So I do wish that there was some clarification as to the quota system, and I also wish there was some rethinking about the quota system, especially Lower Boulder being such a spread out area. My RSD will not affect hers, and hers won't affect, you know what I mean? So anyway, I think Brian would be great, and I wish you could get it soon.
Thank you. As of right now, just a quick response to that, the ordinances, as we had to amend them as we went, but and then the town council was also involved, and we are at the capping or limiting number is 15% in each zone of the permanent residences, if that makes sense. And that adds up. Michela did all the work when she was the ZA and did a formal study on that, and it comes to, I think, 4 point something, but below 4.5, so it goes down to 4 at this moment. Okay, any other comments on the Brody RSTR cup specifically? Okay, going 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm gonna make a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll second that, Tina Carlson.
Okay, all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Tom Brandt, aye.
Shelley.
Aye. Shelley Price Gibson, aye.
Thank you. Okay, discussion from the commission. Comments, questions?
I guess procedurally, Matt, do we want to, what action should we take? Do we provisionally approve it pending the next one coming available, or how do we document what we've done tonight and ensure Brent her place in line?
Yeah, I think procedurally you know, if it approves, it should be an approved cup that's on the waiting list.
That sounds very good to me. So the motion, so I would then move that we approve her request as for a conditional use permit, subject to being on the waiting list for a slot to open up.
Okay, I'll second that. And then is there any final discussion on this, on the Brody Cup? Okay, then I'm going to take it to a vote. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Anna Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Don Barranth, aye.
Shelley Price Gibson, aye.
Okay. Thank you, Bryn. So that's, we're winding down here to the end of our agenda. Thank you for everyone's focus. And we're going to switch to upcoming business for next month. Let's see. I never know when to do final public comments. I'll leave them as final. Let's switch to upcoming business. And so let's see what's on the table. We have public hearing discussion. Discussion and vote on Fuller Fogle subdivision, pending all the paperwork being in. Let's see. Number two, we have public hearing on John's subdivision amendment proposal, correct?
And on the lot line.
And on the lot line, which is a separate public hearing, proposal. Okay, what else needs to be on the table?
Yeah, a couple. One, unfortunately, I alerted Lee Nellis about this one, but there are, under the state law, there are some new requirements on public notice. That could take effect April 13th. So after our next meeting, we'll be subject to those new notice requirements. They're not bad, basically, but I had asked Lee if he could give us a briefing on that. If not, I can take it from the Utah League of Cities and Towns meeting. But basically, we have to have a layperson summary of what an ordinance does.
Okay, so so that's a briefing on legislative changes, state changes on which ordinances, a bunch of different ones?
Well, the most of the things that the legislature did in 22, towns are exempt, but the one that does affect us is the new public notice requirements.
Okay, so that's the specific one we need to address.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for scouting that out. I think
we left hanging. There was those email threads with Stacy Davis regarding Stacy Davis temporary housing.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. And,
we should resolve. You know, it's straightforward, but we should resolve. You know, whether we can extend the temporary camping ordinance, or whether we want to give her a CUP after 90 days.
Okay. So let's put that on the discussion.
And then I had under business for next month that I think it'd be really helpful if April and Peg could start developing some suggested administrative procedures regarding format and timing of submittals and deadlines for getting things to the meetings. My reading of normal practice is that sort of administrative thing doesn't rise to the level of an ordinance. It'd be basically staff procedures, but we could have them discussed and then posted on our website to get some clarity on things that have to go to the zoning administrator so we have adequate time.
Peg, does that sound like setting a few of those procedures up to make your job smoother? Does that sound doable to you?
April and I are tentatively planning the end of next week to start working on that.
Okay.
I'm not positive after next week. I'm having eye surgery. If I'm going to, what effect that will have on my ability to read documents, I'm not sure.
Okay.
So
thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Keep us updated on that. And maybe if you and April can just give the commission a report on what you've decided on.
Yep.
That would be great.
And then the last item is kind of, I think we have a pretty full slate. With a natural segue from the discussion on the two ordinances, we've talked about initiating a discussion about housing, housing needs, open space preservation, general plan. I have a hunch we're probably not going to have time to get to it in May in any depth, but maybe a couple minutes just to kind of set the tone for future meetings.
Okay, yeah, let's at least get it in there so we can figure out a trajectory to keep going with it.
Okay, that's all I had for next month.
Okay, anyone else have anything on the table, commissioners? Okay.
I would like to make a comment on the, and would like to help with pursuing the idea of having it, you know, when we're doing these ordinances, that we actually do have a form that people can follow to maybe attach their, within their applications, the documents that they need so that they don't become such a heavy burden on the, you know, actual uploading them or even passing them on to our zoning administrator, but that's only because I've been involved in applications where, in fact, you can actually fill in your information, and I think that would be helpful in our communication with the public and applicants and all of that. So I'll think about that too, if I can help out with that.
Okay, so you're proposing we have a discussion on how to streamline that.
Yeah, and hopefully I can bring in a report on that to the next meeting.
That'd be Tina, great.
Were you talking about the application process itself? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
So, I mean,
setting it up. So
the application form itself or the procedure that's written in the ordinance?
The application, add an application form. In, for instance, the short-term residential units or applications.
Okay.
For instance, I'll talk to you about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this sounds like a topic that's best progress will be made by people working offline and trying to get resolve it. So, yes,
I agree.
Offline discussions will be very helpful in keeping that moving.
Okay. I think that's it then. Well done. So before we, is there anything else before I go to final public comments?
I just wanted Matt to ask if for the lot line stuff, the land division stuff, were we saying we're going to revisit that next time or is that going to public hearing next time?
Because there's substantive changes where it's going to go to public hearing, then we'll discuss and vote on it to pass it on to town.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. I guess I'm wondering why we didn't discuss that tonight then, but I guess we can just get back to it next time.
Well, we need to have a public hearing again on the changes. And I think the discussion follows that.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, your lot line went through under the old ordinances. So yeah.
Right. I guess I was thinking the lot line thing is new rather than changes, but meaning that document that Lee sent us, the land division amendments.
Right.
I was thinking that was new stuff rather than the change stuff. I don't know. I'm thinking it's a separate document from the thing that was changed.
No, your confusion is there. What's happened is he's moved things between different documents, and then sometimes in one memo, it's talked about three different ordinances. So I've had a hard time keeping a history of all my discussions with him.
I don't know that we've actually all discussed the that land division document at any point. Talks about the procedure for an amended plat and all of that.
Well, we've hit it in a couple different meetings, but it has been confused. Why don't we talk about that offline?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and we will have discussion for it next month as well.
Okay.
Could you please clarify after your offline discussion exactly what I should notice a public hearing on then?
The public hearing will be on. I'll make sure that between me and Lee, we agree on a clean copy of what you're sending. But it's basically the two ordinances. I'll resend those to you. Will that work?
That'll work. I just need to know what I'm actually putting out for public notice.
Yeah. Okay. So I think just for right now. We have the one is titled an ordinance amending chapter 52 of the Boulder Town Code of Ordinances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the one. And then the other one, let's see if I make sure I read the title. It was an ordinance regarding Boulder Town's code to provide greater clarity and practicality in the review of proposed subdivisions.
Oh, okay.
Which was the old October title.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure you've got clean copies of those with all the known typographical errors corrected.
Peg, the most recent document from Lee is called Land Division Amendments, if that's a more succinct way for you to put it.
Is that descriptive enough?
That's a different document. That's what gets so confusing.
Oh, sorry.
The title of the ordinance.
Yeah, I think John's first one. It's an amendment of a specific.
Okay, I'll go with what John
said. He puts different titles on in the memo, but I'm giving you the title that is in bold letters at the head of where it becomes the ordinance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, floor is open for final public comments.
I have a comment.
Who's this?
Can you hear me?
Dan. Okay. Yes.
Dan. I just want to thank the commission for separating out the several specific issues in John's subdivision amendment and moving them on to the main meeting for public comment. And special thanks to John for all the work to put that document together. And thanks to Matt for keeping these issues on the PC's focus for the past several months. So thanks to you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan. Any other comments?
Yep.
I don't see anybody else.
All right, then that's a wrap. Again, thank you everybody for showing up and giving your valuable comments and information, and we'll be back at it in a month and in between. All right. Oh, yeah.
Wait, yes. I'm sorry. Sure. Lee had said in his cryptic note, you got the note that he's got COVID. So he's brain fogged apparently.
Yeah.
He did suggest possibly meeting in between, or work meeting maybe. So if nothing to discuss or resolve tonight, but maybe some inside conversation and letting him know if that would be useful for you to do.
Okay. I'll handle that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Peg. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Oh, wait, you have to take a motion to close the meeting.
Oh, well, yeah, that would be legit. Okay. So I'll make a motion to close the Planning Commission meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor. One more. Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
John, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Aye.
That was Shelley. Did you hear? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, commissioners. Okay.
Thanks.
Good night.
Well, I want to get a copy of that water conservation plan.
It says bye. And it sounds like you guys have some sort of sound.
Bye bye.
Sometimes I yell at that. I still have a board piece. So I might ask for that too, just for reference. Because it ties into a lot of things. So,